This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you a bartender that dreads the phrase, "Hey, can you put the game on?" At Sports on What, we understand your pain and we're here to help. Over the air, satellite, cable, or streaming, Sports on What knows what channel the game is on and you can too. Follow your favorite teams, set alerts, and filter by provider to get the results you need. Stop wasting time searching and never miss kickoff again. Just download the Sports on What app and you'll always know how to watch the game. Available for Android and iOS. Start your 7-day free trial when you download Sports on What and subscribe today.
We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up here at 5:08, we will drink a toast with a shot of the day into the weekend. There's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
We celebrate a couple birthdays on a Bad Choice Friday. Turning 62 years old this weekend, the one and only MC Hammer. Also celebrating his 78th birthday, the lead singer of Toto, Bobby Kimball.
Meet you all the way. Meet you all the way. Meet you all the way.
You guys know what that song is about?
He's going to have sex with Santa.
You're close.
He wants to have sex with me.
The members of Toto were hanging out in the Hollywood world, and they all got a chance to meet, party, and hang out with Rosanna Arquette.
Oh, yeah.
They were so impressed with it, they wrote a song.
That's exactly right. So, Rosanna and Toto taking on MC Hammer and Too Legit to Quit. Vote now if you follow us on X at Men's Room Live. One of those two tunes coming up right after we drink and tell us with a shot of the day.
Did any of them ever close the deal?
We don't know.
I don't know.
We don't
know.
I'm going to say yes.
Think all of them.
Same time.
Does she get any money for that?
No.
No. I'm just wondering.
I can't walk into a bar called Ted's and demand money.
You should.
You could.
Yeah.
See, you made this bar after me.
Right. Up on Roosevelt, 65th.
Oh, yeah. Teddy's?
Teddy's. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I've been in there a few times. Mm-hmm.
Me as well.
Our question growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? And here come a couple of emails from the men's room at KISW.com.
You've got me.
Says, Patolos, I grew up on Lake Taps. In the summer, I was in the water all day, every day. One day, I was walking toward the shore, and I felt something sharp and pointy hit me in the back of the leg. I yelled, "Shark!" at the top of my lungs and took off running. I thought for sure Jaws was going to get me. My brothers were rolling on the grass laughing for like 20 minutes. They were like, "Sis, you big dummy. Sharks don't live in a lake. It was just a piece of driftwood." Thanks for all you do. Stay beautiful. That from the Ginger Midget. Guys, when I was in college, I was living with my boyfriend, husband now, out in the middle of nowhere. Never locked our doors. That's how far out we lived. One night, I'd been working on a paper, and I took a break to watch a movie with my boyfriend before he went to bed. Both fell asleep. I woke up a couple hours later, and I sat up. I heard a noise in the hallway. When I look out in the hallway, all I see is a person in the dark, staring at me. I couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman. But just that sight made my blood run cold, and I was terrified. I shook my boyfriend awake, and all I could say was, "Someone's here." We had no weapons, so he grabbed the heaviest thing he could find and ran into the hallway. Turns out a drunk teenager stumbled into our home from who knows where, thinking she was at her friend's house. She found her guest room and passed out. My boyfriend ran into the room and scared the crap out of her. She screamed and stumbled out of the house and ran like hell. We called the cops out of fear that she would get hurt running around at night, but they never found her. To this day, I check all the doors and windows before I go to bed every night. Happy Friday, and thanks for all the laughs. That from Ray Jean. And we've got one birthday request today. Birthdays, by
just
the way.
Just one, huh?
Yeah, brought to you by Men's Room Roasted Red Salsa from San Juan Salsa Company. All the guys, can we get a shout-out to Colby? He's turning a big 5 years old today.
Oh, Colby.
Mom and Dad love him so much. Also, could you give him some green beans? And Coach Ted giving him a pep talk for Colby starting T-ball. First time soon. That would be great. Thanks, guys. That from Christopher.
Green bean.
What?
Green bean.
Okay.
Green bean.
Ja.
Green bean.
All right, Colby. Starting T-ball. First of all, Coach is the right person to talk to. I once had an unassisted triple play in T-ball.
Yeah.
Fact. Now, also, when I first started T-ball, I wasn't always talented like this. And apparently, the first time I hit one, I ran to third base. So my advice to you, son, is to run to first base. Make sure the coach points it out. Keep your eye on the ball and hit it.
I tell you what, though, man, there's nothing that brings me greater joy than watching kids play T-ball.
Oh, yeah.
It is just absolutely
chaos,
mayhem. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to it. Some kids are picking dandelion flowers
in
the grass.
Right.
Some kids are drawing, you know, finger stuff in the dirt, running to the wrong bases, running to the pitcher's mound, coaches trying to turn kids around, people not paying attention, some kids with their glove on their head.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's T-ball's awesome.
Well, with soccer, right, the kids are kind of running the whole time, even though they all 11 are going to chase the ball.
That is correct.
But T-ball is tough, and I've said this before, because you're right, Miles. Some of those kids don't pay attention, and then they get hit with a ball, and they're like, well, this sucks. I never want to do this again.
Right.
Yep. No, yep.
And the improvement, like, I'm not kidding. I did have an unassisted triple play in T-ball, but literally I started the year by running to third base. So I feel like kids learn
a triple.
You learn a lot that first year of T-ball.
Yeah, I've seen kids just run through first base and keep on running.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I've seen, you know, kids just circle out in the outfield and keep running out there and then doing circles and everything else. It's awesome. All right, Colby, here you go.
Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday to you.
Colby.
Yaws of Dirty Germans brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Mmm, Schweineflash.
You guys remember when you did the birthday song after every birthday that came?
Yes.
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 Yes. Chains of like 5 or 6 or 8 birthday songs that you guys went over and over. I think that's why Ted refuses to do it.
Probably so. Couple of extra emails.
We didn't want to become the birthday shout-out show. That was always Ben and I's stance. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not singing that damn song.
Well, it worked.
I know. Well, yeah. It worked. It obviously stuck.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. Well, Terrence's birthday, Brad comes up to me. He's like, hey, we're going to sing the birthday song. I said, I don't sing it. He goes, what? I said, I don't sing it. Yeah, I was like, I don't know. Like, I kind of know it. And he's like, oh, for real? And I was like, yeah, man. And those guys are like, I'll go stand on stage, but like, just sing regular happy birthday.
Yeah. Let's see here. New podcast file option. We've got a couple of these.
Yeah.
It says, hola, guys.
Oh.
Want to compliment the new podcast file option. Yeah. Full show in one versus the segmented ones.
Yeah.
As I work in an army building with poor at best cell reception, I have to download your podcast through a third-party app in advance. Having the whole show in one shot is really convenient. Once again, congrats, guys, on 20 years. That from Paul the OT. When do we start doing that, Mike?
I believe that started this week. Last week, something like that, our boy Tim came over and he says, hey, by the way, there's something that we weren't doing with the podcast. I said, what do you mean there was something we weren't doing with the podcast? So there was a little break of the chain of communication there. And then, what do you know? Now we have a full-length podcast that we're doing.
Awesome.
So.
Yeah, as long as it makes it easier for people to listen, that's all we want.
People have been happy about it,
absolutely.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, what do we got here? Memorable bathroom stories.
I'm glad they like it.
I'm glad you like it.
All of it, y'all, is catching up on the podcast, so I had to share my memorable bathroom story. It left me a reminder of what not to do. I was at our fine Seattle Showbox Soto for a concert with my dad. We got in early, hit the bar for some tasty refreshments, and, well, one drink leads to another, and eventually, you gotta go. So I'm in the bathroom, letting it flow at the urinal. And a random guy busts in with the force and hits the stall and slams the door. slams down the seat, and before I hear anything this man has ever eaten, his whole body, soul, and life force violently begins ejecting from his bungus. He shouts, "Oh, God, I'm never eating a Falafel King ever again."
Oh.
Never been there, but with that solid recommendation, I think I'll pass. Cheers, and keep up the great work on the best show on Seattle radio.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
The king got me again.
Right. Mother Nature is the subject here.
And no offense to Showbox Soto. It's just it's just any concert venue. That's not where you want to be pooping.
It absolutely is not.
No. Gentlemen, you're talking about earthquakes, and if you'd rather be in one or an avalanche at one point, with earthquakes, it's not so much about roofs falling on you. I've been through too many. Northridge quake being one of the worst. Damage depends on two things: type of quake and how long it lasts. Now, rolling quakes feel like literally there are rollers under the ground, and you can feel the earth rolling smoothly up and down. Not a ton of damage with these. The ones that feel jagged, like someone lifting the ground up 10 feet and dropping it and repeating that, they cause the most damage. This is where shelves, bookcases fall over along with their contents. Try to limit what you have on your bed as well. If it tipped over, would it block access? We have bookshelves anchored to walls and strapped on our water heaters. Now, having food and water for a week or two helps, as do batteries, survival gear. But looking at what you keep up high and what can tip over, as well as where they are, will do you a lot of good. Most injuries are over this, fire and gas lines broken. Unless you are over the epicenter of a rocking quake, roofs are the least of your concerns, which is what is why they want you under a good table and not a door jam. Cheers, guys. That from Squirrel. Another one on earthquakes and Mother Nature. Guys, I was in the earthquake in 1989 in Santa Rosa, California, which I believe is just north of San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
Yes. I grew up on a ranch. My dad and I were planting a tree. So when all the animals went silent, it's kind of weird. Then the ground started rolling like waves, and the ground split about 6 inches wide for about 200 feet between my dad and I. It was crazy. Just as a topper, my father-in-law was the last car off of the Bay Bridge. The car behind him fell in. Oh, not a good day. Have a good one. That from Tom. Couple of additional. Guys catching up on the Odyssey app, and you guys were talking about the would you rather to have a toenail ripped off or to pass kidney stones.
Yeah.
It says, guys, I'll take the ripped off toenail every single time. I passed a kidney stone. It's a two-for-one kind of agony. First, the stone has to travel from the kidney to the bladder. This process is excruciating. It is enough to make you want to pass out. Now, once the stone drops into the bladder, part two begins. Once in the bladder, the excruciating pain stops, and a new sensation begins. The body knows you have a foreign object inside your bladder, and it wants it out. Now, you feel like you have to pee. And even if you do pee, you still like, you have to pee. Until the stone arranges itself in a manner to be released from the bladder. If you are lucky, and it is smaller than a BB, you'll just want to cry in a corner for a bit. Any larger, and you want to die.
Jeez, man.
That from Nathan. A couple more. Greetings, fellas.
They still sound awful.
Yep.
Uh-huh. As far as being in the cold. Two things come to mind. One requires no story. The Super Bowl celebration event at the Clink. It was 20 degrees. I do not remember that being that cold that day.
Really?
I just don't remember.
You guys didn't go to the parade, did you?
No.
You just came down. Like, it was freezing that day.
Oh, really?
So cold.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, I stood out there and watched the parade up in, like, Belltown. And, I mean, that was one of the colder days I ever remember in Seattle.
Okay.
The other one, I was in school in at the Great Lakes for the Navy in the winter of 2009-2010. November 30 was 35 degrees and sunny. December 1st, our walk to school was minus 10
Jesus.
With a wind chill of minus 20. And they didn't check the weather when the uniform of the day came out. Our uniform was the same as the day prior. Regular camo, a jacket with a beanie. We showed up to school after our mile march with icicles on our eyelashes and our noses. They apologized. It was a rough day. Staying warm, bitches. That from the friendly IT guy. Okay, I think it's time that we go back in time to the last time that we played Ted versus the FCC. So if we could, let's go back in time.
Time. Me and frickin' Chuck Cutts. Can't freaking find Nutty Fat Nuck Futs. Even though he's wearing a short, silvery, shiny, Slit City shirt, I'm off Art Smeller.
Three times fast.
Me and frickin' Chuck Cutts can't frickin' find Nutty Fat Nut Cutts. Even though he's wearing a short, silvery, shiny, Slit City shirt, I'm off Art Smeller.
One.
Me and frickin' Chuck Cutts can't frickin' find Nutty Fat Nut Cutts. Even though he's wearing a short, silvery, shiny, Slit oh.
Let's try it again.
And now, everyone's favorite daytime game show, where one person could lose $325,000 and their job, or win, and walk away with nothing. It's time for Ted versus the FCC.
Oh, I should have remembered we had a redo from last week. Totally forgot about that. I don't know why we stayed up that late.
I just don't know.
Oh, probably 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
Typical night of just being creative and letting the juices flow.
Oh, yeah. That's what we do, man.
We came up with some good ones. We come in and we go, oh, yeah, that's right. We have a repeat of Ted versus the FCC. So once again, from our friend Joe, Ted versus the FCC goes something like this. Me and frickin' Chuck Cutts can't frickin' find Nutty Fat Nuck Futs, even though he's wearing a short, silver, shiny, Slit City shirt. I'm off, Art Smeller. The way that we do, Ted versus the FCC. One time through, then three times fast.
Hydrated. Gotta stay hydrated, Mike. Me and frickin' Chuck Cutts can't frickin' find Nutty Fat Nuck Futs. Even though he's wearing a short, silvery, shiny, Slit City shirt, I'm off, Art Smeller.
Three times fast.
Yeah,
we'll keep that one again.
That one came out smooth.
It was so smooth, I almost didn't notice.
I didn't either.
Yep.
I was going to keep going, and then I saw Mike, like, react.
Like how you were talking to me, Dad, like, no, you said it, buddy.
I was like, I don't know, dude. Should we check the tapes? You know what? Check those tapes.
Pretty sure that was...
flag on the
yeah,
flag.
I'm going to throw my review flag.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, it felt fine to me.
Coming up at 5:08, we will drink and toast in the weekend with a shot of the day. You are listening to The Men's Room.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up at 5:08, we'll drink and toast in the weekend with a shot of the day. And we do have your headlines on the way at 5:50. But first, quick check out with Mike Hogg and some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
Well, thank you, Miles. People are using more household cleaners on their homes, but they may be increasing their exposure to harmful chemicals in the air while doing so.
Well, that kind of makes sense.
Right.
Let's give a shout out to those scrubbing bubbles.
Damn right.
I hadn't cleaned the tub in a while, and I was just like, God, you guys put in work.
Right. That's one thing that my wife is doing. She's kind of changing the chemicals that we have in our house as far as what we're using to clean. And, you know, we don't want this one because the chemicals are too harmful. Like, they're just terrible. It's like, yeah, that's why they get dirt and grime up off of the things that we want the dirt and grime off of.
That's why it works.
Right.
Yeah.
Lysol is not kind to bacteria.
Yeah.
So, like, I get it. There's some harmful stuff in there. However, our place looks clean and it smells nice. Fragrance is also not allowed.
Oh, really?
No fragrance?
Fragrance is, apparently, that's a bad thing. Like, the
hardest working thing in my apartment... is I have one of those little clay plug-ins.
Little wallflowers.
Oh, yeah. Right by the door.
Yeah.
He's the unsung hero. Oh, yeah. And like, no matter what goes on in my home, as soon as that thing's empty, we change it out.
Oh, you're damn right. Yeah. Damn right.
Try to keep it fresh in there.
Back to intermittent fasting, there's evidence to suggest that it could also help revive an aging libido.
Oh, really?
Okay.
All you need is to starve a little bit, and then you're ready to get after
sex. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get how. So what intermittent fasting is what? 12 hours not eating, 8 hours of eating.
Okay.
Is it eight?
I believe it's eight.
I thought it was only like a 4-hour window where you eat.
I think it's 12 and eight system, but you're only eating like two meals or something like that between the hours of noon and 8 o'clock p.m. That's your time to be able to eat something.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we've said it 1,000 times on the show. Whatever works for you. Do it.
Right. As long as you are healthy and you like what you're doing,
correct,
you're good to go. There's a town in Australia that's looking to hire someone to be their local doctor, promising a $428,000 salary, free rent, and a car.
Must be in the middle of nowhere.
Isn't that Northern Exposure? Wasn't that the whole basis of that show?
He was like the doctor in Alaska.
in a small town. They paid him to go there.
That doesn't shock me. But yeah, this this town, their doctor's on the way out. He's moving. He's retiring. I don't know what it is, but now they're like, we need a doctor.
Damn.
Can you imagine living in a town so small, everybody goes to the same doctor?
Right. You're the doctor.
That'd be weird.
And it's so secluded as well, is what I'm going to say there. You know, we live in an area to where if you want to go to a doctor, yeah, we could go across the street and go to the doctor here. However, in this area, there's a handful of doctors all over the place. You can go on down south and go find a doctor. You can go east and find a doctor. You can go north and find a doctor.
Below us in the building.
Correct. Meanwhile, these guys...
be a doctor.
Doctor. Meanwhile, these guys are like, we need a town doctor because we are hundreds of miles from anybody.
I could not be your town's doctor. A, I'm not a doctor.
That's part of it.
That's the big one right there.
And B, I would just tell stuff. Like, if I was at the bar and some dude was hitting on a girl, like, no, 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 son, not her.
Oh.
How do you know? Like, I'm the town doctor.
I'm the town
just
doctor.
Just me. Next week, fine.
She's got the clap.
Yeah, like, not this week, dude.
I've been further in there than you'll ever be there, buddy. You don't want to go in there.
Yeah. And I don't know. Let's pick a random name. And you know what, Stacy? Your husband's still smoking. I saw his lungs.
It's not because of gore or anything like that. It's because you can't keep a secret.
Yeah, that's it. I just go down to the local watering hole and tell everybody secrets. I don't think you should be in here with that blood pressure.
Ooh, wouldn't kiss her.
Yeah. She's got herpes.
Jesus.
How do you know? I'm the doctor.
I know, man.
I'm the doctor.
Anyhow, you want to do some nitrous? I'm the doctor.
Ooh, don't get into business with that guy. He's got cancer. He doesn't have long.
Damn.
Break it off now. The Merriam-Webster word of the day. Derelict.
Oh, I like derelict.
Derelict.
Oh, yeah.
I've been known to be a derelict here and there.
Yeah. Time to time. Mr. Derelict Smith.
I'm going to be a trash human derelict tomorrow night in Vegas.
All right. The fact that it's tomorrow night in Vegas, like, you are really doing a crash test in Vegas real quick. Just real crash course.
Yeah.
Well done.
And then after I go see Dead Come in the Sphere, I'm going to go to a local dive bar. Mix it up with the locals.
If we see Ted on Monday, I'll be amazed. New study on crowd behaviors found that people will form two efficiently moving lanes while walking in opposite directions, but a slight shift in angle generally reduces speeds by about 30%.
And no going three wide.
Yeah, no kidding, dude.
Look, come on, man. What are you doing? Yeah, you're taking up the whole side.
Right. And the wording confused me when I first saw it. So basically, when you have a crowd of people that are walking, say you're on a sidewalk, yeah, other than the jackasses that go three wide, people will tend to stick to the right, as it were, and they will form two lanes, one going north, one going south. But they were talking about when you bring it into the chaotic environment of a plaza, of a shopping center, or something like that, when you start having people coming from all different kinds of directions that are all over the place, all of a sudden that completely throws people.
Yeah, they're not wrong. They're not wrong.
And it's the same thing while driving. Most people, when you're on like a two-lane road, other than the jackass that won't go, you know, above 5 under the speed limit, then most people can move efficiently and everybody's doing fine. But the problem is that when you start getting on the freeway and you start mixing things up, a lot of the jams that you see on the freeway is a result of one or a couple of people that slam on their brakes real quick, whatever it is, because they're scared. You ever followed behind the person that brakes for no reason?
Did that. It was yesterday or the day before,
That's the guy that's causing the massive pileup.
Why are you braking?
Right.
There's nothing in front of you. What are you doing?
That is my immediate sign I'm going around you. Yeah. If you brake and there is nothing in front of you, like there's not a pebble bouncing in the road, there is nothing.
Oh, yeah.
You just decided to brake, I'm going out and around you. No, that is not how we play. There's a rarely used malaria drug that researchers have found that makes human blood lethal to mosquitoes.
Good.
Thereby changing the direction of insecticides.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. So whatever it is that it's used to prevent malaria from infecting your blood, it's actually poisoning the mosquitoes as they're drinking your blood.
All right.
It's wild.
Get them back.
Yeah.
I like that. You can attack me? Yo. Shocking. It's poison. Enjoy it. It's your last drink.
Parasite.
Air.
Ooh. Ted versus the FCC was already on there.
Yeah. I just almost said a-hole. Yeah. I hate mosquitoes, man.
I do too, man.
Yeah, they're all over me.
They don't do anything terrible other than, you know, giving everybody nasty-ass diseases. But at the same time, you ever had one buzzing in your ear?
Yeah.
It's the worst.
It's annoying.
It is.
I mean, at the end of the day, those people at Jurassic Park would have been fine if it wasn't for the mosquitoes.
You're damn right.
That's a good point.
Jurassic Park would not have been a thing if not for the damn mosquitoes.
Correct.
Thing, you know, people get eaten by dinosaurs.
That's right.
Yeah. And they're humping.
Making babies. Nature finds a way.
Finds a way.
Oh, they can't have babies.
What was it? They're all female or
they
whatever?
They were all female,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And somebody grew one.
What up? Check this thing out.
guys, I feel different.
That was one of my favorite movies as a kid, and it took me, honestly, an astonishingly long time. Now, granted, I took a little hiatus from watching it the 900 times in a row that I would until I actually figured out what it was that the problem was. All of a sudden, they just found an egg. Oh, you know, Dad says they're all girls. Like, so? I got all this like, oh, okay.
All right.
Oh, the headline of the day. I love this website, but it gave us this headline. Coffee enemas likely won't detox your system, but may cause serious harm.
Why do you have to print that?
We did it once. Me and my buddies when I lived in that house in Baltimore.
A coffee enema?
Correct.
One guy, you know, somebody read it was supposed to be good for you, and then it became like a joke, and then...
Like, one guy did it, and then it was like, that is horrible and gross. I was like, who's next? And then it became like a thing. I remember somebody came home that wasn't a part of this. It was just like, what are you guys doing? Like, we're giving each other enemas. Right? It was as awkward as it sounds.
Right. Damn. Honestly, I could probably count on one hand how many things you can do back there that's healthy. Unless it comes straight from a doctor.
Right.
As far as insertion goes.
Yeah, it's a suppository.
Right, suppositories about it, enemas, thermometers, you know. Again, right. Doctor-prescribed methods of health improvement as far as insertion goes. Beyond that, let's just not do it. You want to do it for fun? Cool. Don't believe you're doing anything healthy.
Nothing healthy.
Come on.
You just get stuff out.
Well, sure. That's what enemas do.
Yeah. I mean, just...
That's just an enema. You don't need the coffee.
Right.
I guess you're right.
Drink the coffee. That'll get stuff out, too.
Yeah, that is true.
I have one friend sometimes that gets backed up.
Oh, yeah?
And yeah, we're just complete opposites.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, God, stuff, you know, backed up. Because we ate horrible yesterday, and I'm like, I can't stop going. I've already gone like four times.
Oh, let's see. Brain changes linger long after concussed athletes are cleared to play, according to a new study.
Yeah, yeah, don't say. Yeah,
obviously. We're figuring that out by the day. Well done, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Miles, what day is it, my friend?
Oh, it's Friday.
You're right. It is National Stuff on a Stick Day.
Okay.
That took me to it.
The Men's Room Top 10. The Men's Room Top 10.
10 or more of the best foods on sticks. You know, there's nothing quite like cooking out on an open fire. Leave all the modern-day utensils of the trade back in the kitchen because you're roughing it. Look for a sturdy stick. Grab your Whitland knife and affix a sharp edge on it. Get it in the fire and get it good and heated up. Then pierce your wiener and enjoy removing a layer of mouse skin because it's too hot and you're too lit on Milwaukee's Beast. That stick also serves an even greater purpose for when your pal gets a little too greedy with your bottle of brown. Nothing like a good belly stab with that stick that sends a clear message. Positive Friday.
I love eating stuff off a stick.
I'm with you. What would you say is your favorite thing to eat off of a stick there, Ted?
Maybe like a chicken satay. Like a scared chicken
strong,
scare?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Miles, thrill, your favorite thing?
I'm favorite like, Ted, man.
Yeah, I mean like in a trashy way, corn dogs.
Okay, I dig it. I dig it.
So, remember, Miles, we now call that the American Beef Wellington.
Oh,
the
right.
American Beef
I got an English girl to try one at a Texas game once.
Oh, my goodness. So this comes to us from Ranker.com, and these are the foods that taste better on sticks. Towards the bottom of the list, they go with chocolate-covered bananas.
Okay, don't know that I've eaten one.
I also wouldn't mind putting the chocolate-covered strawberry on there, the shishka berries.
Yeah.
I feel like that works. Suckers shows up on the list.
Okay, all right.
Makes sense.
It's still a little stick.
It is a little stick.
It's a little teeny tiny stick.
Look at the size of your little stick.
Oh, it's a thin little
I guess
guy.
I just don't think about, like, eating candy as food.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
It's like a separate thing. It's candy.
What about cake pops?
Delicious.
That's a food on a stick.
Yeah.
Those things are so good.
They are really good, man.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Kids love them.
Kids love them.
I know. I got to fight my urge sometimes on the weekend at the drive-thru at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Two cake pops.
Yep. Well, you know, the wife and I will go to Target and whatnot, I need a Starbucks. I need a coffee. So we'll go over there, and all of a sudden she sees a little cabinet's got them in there. It's like, oh, that was little penguin. Can I get the penguin cake pop? Like, all right. Get the penguin.
Do you eat it in one bite, or do you try to two bite it?
Dude, I eat it in one bite.
Yeah, I'm a one bite.
I think it's a one bite.
She makes it into like 13, but I just cork the damn thing. Foods that taste better on a stick. Shrimp.
Sure.
You need to detail it, though, if you're going to do it.
I would agree. Like,
if
look,
I'm eating stuff off of a stick. I want to pull it off the stick and eat it.
I will eat the tail on shrimp.
Okay.
Like, I don't mind. And, like, I know a lot of Asian cultures do that. But, like, for the most part, I'm with you. Most people don't want to eat the tail. Right.
I know I can, and I shouldn't say I don't mind eating the tail. It's like, I'll fight through it if need be. But it's just, it's still so hard and firm.
I mean, if it's steamed shrimp, probably not. But if you fry the shrimp,
yeah.
I'll eat the tails.
Like a tempura.
Yeah. I'm one of those old guys, too. If it's just me and Miles eating them and he doesn't eat his tails, I'll eat them.
You find these at the fair. Corn on a stick.
Yep.
God.
I don't even need it on a stick. I just need it on the cob.
Yeah.
Well, it helps having all that stick, though, is they dip it in the butter. Oh, then you add all your
right. Get the street right. Corn.
I know. I get it every time I go to the fair. Like, ooh,
got that corn on a stick.
It's so good, too.
Hell yeah.
We'll have to try that.
We got corn on a stick.
They go with cheese, but I think what they're talking about is like when you have a toothpick and you're stabbing the little cheese.
Okay, I got you, yeah.
Dude, you ever have like when people put a little ball of mozzarella and a little cherry tomato and a little piece of basil?
Little basil on there.
That's delicious and usually on a stick.
Mm-hmm. Number 9, marshmallows.
Okay. I feel like I'm toasting them or roasting them.
Well, you're making a s'more at that point.
Right. I think it's weirder if I came to your house and you were just eating marshmallows.
Just mowing down on marshmallows.
Yeah, but
honestly, other than like Peeps, when do we just eat marshmallows?
I don't.
Right?
You're out there kids camping. Do, but yeah, as an adult, no.
Caramel apples shows up on the list.
Is there any other way to eat it?
It'd be hard to hold that thing.
Well, sure.
Without it.
It's a stick food, though.
That's stick food.
We're getting into the more that are like, these are just stick foods that we're eating here.
I'm sticking by this. So far on this list, I like everything on a stick.
It's been a minute since I've had a caramel apple, but that flavor combo just does not miss.
Nah, it doesn't. It's good.
As long as it's Granny Smith. Cotton candy.
Yeah.
If you like it.
It's like I've gotten older. I don't. It sucks.
It's too much. It was too much.
You know what I mean?
Gritty, like, a little too sweet.
Right. There's no point where I'm like, I could really go for some cotton candy.
Yeah. It's too sticky.
It is.
And like you said, well, I will say from time to time, all of a sudden it'll just look good at like a ball game or something like that.
It looks good, but it doesn't. It's just a taste in your mouth.
Yes.
Right? Nothing even makes your belly. No. It just dissolves, you know. It's
gets all around your mouth and your beard and whatnot. It's like, oh, it just feels sticky.
I mean, I always had a thing with my buddy and his kids, and like the kids barely even, like they got it, and then like halfway through, they're like,
Fruit skewers.
All right.
I like a fruit skewer. I'm sorry. I like a fruit skewer.
Fruit skewer is good. Got to add that tahine.
See, but I don't on that one. I'm not a big tahine guy.
I love it now. Once I got into like putting it on watermelon or anything, it's awesome.
It's just a chili lime seasoning, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. The first time I ever tried it was they salted a rim with it.
Ah, okay.
And it was just, it was a little too mealy for me. I didn't quite like it.
That's fair.
I know.
Trust me, my mind went there too.
No. Skewered meat shows up on the list.
Yep.
Yeah, any kind of skewered meat's going to be good. Now, also, as we get closer to summer, recommendation again, if you're going to make kebabs, cook your meat and your vegetables separate as they cook at different temperatures and different timing.
Next up on the list is kebabs. So what is the difference? So skewered meat is just skewered meat. You've got like a piece of beef or chicken or lamb or whatever it is. Whereas kebabs, you're putting like peppers and onions and whatnot on there.
Okay. Yeah. I prefer a little bit of space in between that stuff too, just to make sure that everything gets crispy and you don't pull it apart. It's like raw in the middle, burn on
the outside.
But
that's what I'm saying. By the time you cook the chicken chunks, like the vegetables are going to be burnt. So I like to cook them separate. And then just take them off the skewers.
There you go. Exactly. Number three, that's where corn dogs show up on the list.
All right. Yep, that's a big one.
And I'm making a statement on this one because number two and number one are very similar. However, they are technically different. So number two on the list is the fudgesicle.
Okay.
which I absolutely love. There is never a time when I don't normally go the chocolate realm when I'm going for sweets, but a fudgesicle I am always down for. But then the number one food on a stick, as according to Ranker.com, if you guys know what it is, you know what it is. The summer favorite, it's popsicles.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
So would you lump the two of them together, or were they right to keep them separate?
I guess you have to keep them separate, but to me, a fudgesicle is just a popsicle that happens to be fudge.
But it's more fudgy ice cream, whereas the popsicle is kind of icy.
When's the last time anybody in here had a fudgesicle? It's got to be 20 years.
Last year.
Oh, really?
Last summer.
I have. Those are not something that I run into very often.
We got on the fudgesicle train last year.
Okay.
It's a slippery slope. No, if you eat one, you're like, we should get a box of these.
They go so damn fast.
Yeah.
You finish one, it's like, I wouldn't mind having another one.
Uh-huh.
Dude, I'm with you. And I'm a grown-ass adult, and I can do whatever the hell I want to do.
Yeah, she'll be asleep soon.
Damn it, Ted.
Miles, wonder what he's doing out there, thinking of other women. No, he's thinking about that damn fudgesicle. Yeah. The second one.
An elementary school in Louisiana had to be evacuated due to an intruder, but it wasn't a person that was trespassing, Miles.
What devil's in the school?
Tell you all about it at 5:50.
Thank you, sir. Headlines are coming up at 5:50. In the meantime, have we made it to the weekend and drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Good time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we chose Mr. Tan Yuhai of Nanning, China. All right. Now, this guy hired a hitman to take out his competitor for $282,000. And this dates back to a professional dispute that he had with a guy named Mr. Wee, because Mr. Wee took legal action, I know, against this guy's law firm. Scared of losing money, fighting a lengthy court case, that's when Tan contacted a hitman and offered him $282,000 to kill Mr. Wee. Now, the man he offered the job to accepted the job, but shortly afterwards, that guy, the hitman, he hired another hitman to take this guy out, and he offered him half of the money. So that guy accepted the job. But then this guy contacted another hitman who agreed to carry out the killing for an upfront fee of about $100,000 and then $200,000 afterwards. And then that guy, he offered another hitman about $100,000 to assassinate this guy, Mr. Wee. So if you're keeping track, so far, four hitmen have been on this. So he hired a hitman who hired a hitman, and then hired a hitman, and then hired a hitman. But finally, the chain came to an end when the final hitman agreed to kill Mr. Wee. Then Mr. Wee ends up meeting, this guy agreed to kill Mr. Wee. But instead of carrying out the murder, this guy met up with Mr. Wee and told him, hey, man, there's a hit on you, and they proposed a plan. The two of them would fake the murder and then split the money. So Mr. Wee agreed to pose, gagged and bound, for a photo that the hitman could then take and send back to the fourth hitman who hired him.
God.
Okay, so now Tan, who hired the original hitman, by the way, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison. The first hitman was also sentenced to 3 years to 6 months in prison. The second hitman and the third hitman, they were sentenced to 3 years and 3 months. And the fourth and fifth hitman, they were sentenced to 2 years and 7 months. So the dude hired a hitman. Who hired a hitman, who hired a hitman, who hired a hitman, who hired a hitman, who hired a hitman to fake the guy's murder. And in the end, they all got caught and went to prison.
Wow.
Good God, man. So we pour this booze, and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola.
Your winner on a Bad Choice Friday, coming up next.